In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Good morning. Christ is risen. Truly, He is risen. I wonder what that word really means to a lot of us. I know the word Christ is risen oftentimes signifies that it means we get to gorge on a lot of food for 50 days, and oftentimes the eating of the food continues, but the greeting of Christ is risen stops after a week or so. We still rejoice in the food, but oftentimes we forget really what it means to say that Christ is risen. We search for the food that does not satisfy, which our Lord talks about today, but what does it mean to say Christ is risen? It really means your life. To say that Christ is risen is everything in our life. Without it, we have to say that we are the most pitiful people on earth. But in saying that He is truly risen from the dead, you are saying He is life through whom I have life. Now, there's no doubt that today there's a theme which you're going to see throughout the entire Holy 50 days. It's not some new revelation, but you will read throughout this time that the theme of this time is life. If you look at the readings from today, in 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 12, it says, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." So here, life is equated to Jesus Christ Himself. In Acts 20, we read the story of Eutychus, who, when they gathered on the first day of the week, which is the day of the breaking of the bread, kind of like this day, after hearing the preaching and having fallen from the third floor to his death, St. Paul lays on him and says, "Don't worry, his life is in him." And then we hear this in the gospel. "I am the bread of life. My Father gives you true bread from heaven. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." What I thought I was going to talk about was the Eucharist and the liturgy, which is something that you guys talk about very much here, and I know you have a beautiful series on Orthodox sermons. But while I was reading yesterday, I found something interesting. This gospel talks about the bread that the Father gives is the Son. Later in that same chapter, it says, Christ says, "The bread that I give is my body and blood." So today, the Father is saying, "I am giving you my Son. I am giving you life." And then, as deep as this is, it's very interesting, but Ephesians says, it talks about a mystery. It talks about a mystery. And then St. Paul says, "And it is my privilege to speak to you about the unsearchable riches of Christ, which is the fellowship of this mystery, which is Christ is our life." If you look at all the readings that are from the Gospel of John, last night I decided to look up the word life in the Gospel of John. So there's a website called BibleGateway.com. You can look up a word in a single book just to see how many times it occurs. In the 21 chapters of John, the word life and living, not just as a random word, but as a meaningful word, comes up about 60 times. And you're going to become very familiar with these in the next few weeks. Christ says, "I am the resurrection and the life." But it's interesting, He didn't say, "I am the resurrection and will give you life." He says, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." He says, "You search the Scriptures. In these you think you will have eternal life. These are they which testify of me." But He says, "And you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." I want you to listen to that part again. "You're not willing to come to me that you may have life." Because today in today's gospel He says, "He who comes to me, I will in no way cast out." God gave us His Son for us to have life. Not just the kind of life where the heart continues to beat and the breathing continues on. but it's abundant life. Where Christ is to be our life, where we're supposed to say with St. Paul, for me to live is Christ. We are learning about Christ as the bread of life, meaning we are to feed on Christ as life. We are to be sustained as bread sustains us on Christ. We are to have our hope in Christ. So here we have an invitation. Today Christ says, he who comes to me will never hunger, and he who comes to me will drinks from me will never thirst. But there's a very similar invitation in Isaiah 55 in the beginning. And I love this. I love this invitation because it's a very unique invitation. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" Christ told us today, you're laboring for the food that does not lead to eternal life. You're looking for the food that does not satisfy. Isaiah says, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." The abundant life, which our Lord desires to give, he says, "Incline your ear and come to me." Here's a very special invitation. It says, come, come buy wine. And it says, how much does it cost? It says, you who have no money, come buy. Because it's without money. And it's without price. Because the price has already been paid. So it doesn't cost you anything. The price has been paid. Here is an invitation. Come eat life. What a beautiful invitation. It doesn't cost you anything. It is a free gift of God. So here's the question. You are told today, and you will hear over and over, Christ is our life. You have been invited to this life. Are you feeding on this bread of life? Is Christ satisfying you? Is Christ sufficient for you? Or do you feel like you still have to labor for the food which perishes? We always talk about the laboring for the food that perishes, but let's talk about feeding on Christ. Why would we ever switch from a food that leads to eternal life for a food that perishes? I want to ask you, is Christ inadequate? Is Christ insufficient for us? Does he lack something that you aren't satisfied? Would you say that his love wasn't enough to satisfy you? And his coming to this earth, of his dying on the cross and the forgiveness of sins, is that not enough for you? Is it that he's lacking in mercy? Because we read in Ephesians about the riches of his mercy, and David says, and he crowns us with loving kindness and mercy every day. It's renewed towards you every day. Is that not satisfying enough? Is his arm too short to stretch out and to help us? Is his power not enough? Because we learned that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. He has mighty power. So what is it in Christ that we are not able to say, the Lord is my shepherd and I am completely satisfied. I shall not want anything else. What is it about Christ that is missing? What is it about Christ that is disappointing us that we are not having abundant life and we're going to search for the food that perishes? It's interesting. You guys were offered to read a book, The Way of a Pilgrim, during the Holy Week. I wonder how many of you read it, but it's a fascinating, fascinating book. You want to look at how someone was satisfied. What is it that this pilgrim had? This pilgrim had a backpack with a few books, some dry bread, and the name of Jesus Christ. And when you go back and you read that book and it says, he would be sitting at dinner And he would feel the desire to leave the food that perishes to go into a room to say the Jesus prayer. Like that was the yearning of his heart, and that would be what satisfied his desires. It says there were times where he could walk 40 miles a day and he wouldn't feel it. There were times where he was cold that saying the name kept him warm. When he was feeling sick, he found strength. It's amazing, but he had one thing. And he could say that this name was life. Again, what is lacking in the one from whom life flows? So what's the problem? What's the problem? Is it Christ? Clearly, the problem isn't Christ. The problem isn't us. There's this concept in medicine for anyone who has diabetes or has heard of diabetes. The problem is they can eat sugar, but without insulin, they can't get the sugar inside the cell. So what they say is those cells are starving in the midst of plenty. Starving in the midst of plenty. I want you to imagine someone starving to death, a boy from some third world country, and right next to him, the boy is wasting away, but right next to him, you're saying, why is it that you're letting life run out of you when all you need is offered to you right in front of you, and there's bread and food right around him? You say, why is it that you're allowing the life to be sucked from you, and you yourself are not eating that which will sustain you? This might sound ridiculous, but what if the boy said, yeah, I've heard that this bread might help, but I'm going to try and get a new car and see if that helps. I heard that bread might work, but I might remodel my kitchen first and see if that might help. Or maybe some pornography. See if that helps. Maybe I'm going to try more television or more internet or more technology. I'm going to see if all those are going to help. And what happens? The boy continues to waste away because in him, right in front of him, is that which can give him life. But he's laboring for something that won't sustain him. It's sad to see many souls, Christian souls, after knowing about the bread of life, that they are invited to come and partake in, are starving to death. They're looking for things that just won't satisfy. And they're refusing the invitation for that thing which does. So I'm going to try and get practical here, because it bothers me if I give a talk and you say, okay, well, what do we do? So I'm going to give you three things. First thing is assessment. I want everyone to assess. You have Christ that is life, that is able to sustain. I want you to examine what is missing in Christ. Go look and find out what is it that you need that Christ is unable to fulfill. What is it you're not getting? And why? And I want you to go to Christ and you tell Christ, I'm not finding this in you. Then I want you to go to a spiritual father who will help you find out why you are not receiving from Christ what you need. I want you to assess what is missing or lacking in the one who out of him flows eternal life. You probably say, I can't find anything lacking. So then the second part of the assessment is this. What is it that you are laboring for? What is it that you truly labor for? And the way you can evaluate this, ask yourself this. What is it that I spend my time doing? A large majority of my time, am I laboring for that which leads to eternal life or for that which perishes? The plans that I'm making in my life, are they to lead me to eternal life, or are they for that which does not satisfy? The money I spend, and those things which consume my thoughts. Your time, your plans, your money, your thoughts. What are those spent on? What are you laboring for with those things? Or are you applying those things, your time, your money, your plans, and your thoughts, on that which will satisfy? Second thing, I want you to begin to labor for that food which leads to life. You know where it is. You know that it is in Christ. If I were to say, feed on the Word of God, I don't mean read it. If you look in Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah says, I found your words and I ate them. As one who is starving would feed, example, how much ice cream you've eaten in the last 2 weeks, as you've eaten ice cream, compare that to how much you eat the Word of God. When you find ice cream, some of us are talented enough to finish the whole carton. You just want more and more. How many of us, when it comes to the Word of God, take the smallest of bites and say, that's too much for me? But how many of us, when we find it, you guys have a great Bible study going on. It's the book of Ephesians. It's my favorite book, but I want you guys to just read Ephesians and feast and feed on this book. Jesus Prayer. I want you to labor with the Jesus Prayer. It's a great story, but it doesn't do anything for you if you never practice. How often do we typically eat in America? Okay, we'll get rid of all the snacks. Typically, three meals. What if you labored with the Jesus Prayer in the morning and at lunchtime and at night? Amba Musa taught us, for those of us who have fingers, most of us have them, for those who don't, we have toes. But he taught us you can count the Jesus Prayer on your fingers by these creases. And he says, just while you're walking, labor by controlling your mind and concentrating on the name of Christ. With the guidance of your spiritual father, spend time in the morning, and maybe you can do it 30 times. Say the Jesus Prayer 30 times in the morning, 30 times at lunch, 30 times at night, feasting and feeding and laboring. Now some are going to say, you know, the Jesus Prayer didn't come in me like it did in the Way of a Pilgrim, but don't forget he labored. He prayed it 3,000 times a day, 6,000 times a day, 12,000 times a day, but after he acquired it, he couldn't regret it for a moment. There are some fathers that work their whole life to acquire the Jesus Prayer, and some get it in 2 years. It's a grace given by God, but the one that receives this grace finds that when Christ says, out of them will spring a fountain of eternal life, they find that out of them is springing forth Christ. I want you to choose to labor this week for that which gives life. Whether it be attending a liturgy, special prayer, feeding, not nibbling on the Word, but feeding on the Word, just for 1 week. Then the last thing. So we're going to assess what is missing. Why do we think Christ won't sustain us? Number two, we're going to labor for the food that does. And number three, we're going to clean out our refrigerators. We're going to get rid of something in the food which is sucking away our life. It's interesting. Someone put a comic on Facebook, and I know some people like Facebook, and I don't read it too much, but it was very fascinating. A person goes to the doctor. He says, I don't want to exercise 1 hour a day. The doctor says, it's your choice. You can exercise 1 hour a day, or you could be dead 24 hours a day. Very interesting. Are we choosing to labor for something or continue in the ways that are leading to missing out on life? So choose a food or a habit or a practice or a problem that is sucking the life out of you. out of your family, out of your marriage, out of your kids, and say, I'm no longer going to labor for this. By the grace of God, replace the food that perishes with the food that leads to eternal life. Then I want to ask you, is there a time in your life where you did really drink from the life of God? I'm sure all of us have at one point and said, it was amazing. Why would you ever turn away? You should be saying to everyone, come, taste and see that the Lord is good food. I pray that we will be able to say with David, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have nothing else because I have my life in Him. And for us to say with St. Paul, for me to live is Christ. Don't forget your life in these 50 days. It's so much more rich in the 50 days than in the Lent. We actually do it joyfully, so you can smile while finding that life. May God pour His eternal life into every one of us now and always. Amen.